It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome along to the Cardiff City phone-in. Good panel tonight. We've got Mark Pontin back on the show. Hello to you, Mark.
Evening.
And Al Worth, your near neighbour.
Good evening.
Ed, hello, Ed. Thanks for coming on.
How you doing?
And Vince, to you, thanks very much for coming on, because obviously we arranged this, you know, to get you on for this show. You know, whatever happened. So thanks for coming on. Vince, I'll go to you first. And obviously it's a trip you've made many times. You know, you're heavily involved on these days. The bubble trip is never much fun, really, in terms of the practicalities, I'd imagine. Talk us through yesterday from your point of view.
I just think it was expected for me. I am sick to death of managers and the club blaming players. Yeah, the players have got a part to play. They were awful first half. I think the club should apologise. I think the manager should, to the supporters who make that trip. We year in, year out, we turn up, right? We turn up every year. We get outsung because they give us nothing to sing about. They don't take the game serious. They just talk words. This look at it in isolation, this one game. Swansea will look at it in isolation, so let's look at it in isolation. We had some of our players at Cheltenham races during the week. And look, you know, they're allowed to go and do things. But when it's such a big derby for the supporters, Swansea is second best almost to everything to Cardiff. And that's just a fact. That's not me having to go with Swansea. They are, right? The one thing they're good at, better than us, that they have been over the last 20 years, is football and getting their team up for it. And we just don't get it. Our club don't get it. Our managers don't get it. Our players don't get it. Reuben Carwell can come up with a little bit of credit. I thought he was good when he came on. All the others looked were off their game. They weren't closing down. A lot of that's to do with Bullet and his tactics. He likes a nice slow build in the back. We don't press in the front. They were pressing us. They know we're gonna be on our 18-yard line, so it allows their two fullbacks to get up on top of us. You know, if you look at Southampton, Hull, Norwich, all them teams pushed us high up the pitch because they know our fullbacks are going to be right back on that 18-yard line with our two centre-halves. And then when they win the ball back, they get a 2-on-1 situation because their fullbacks are up with their wingers supporting. So every time they win either a second ball, because they're going to make more effort like they do, they're going to attack our goal. And that's what happened on Saturday. I could have told you this before the ball was kicked, no matter what team he put out. Because that's his style of football. You know, we don't press hard when there's no aggression there. And I just think it's awful for the fans. Swansea City Football Club, they're petty. You know, they don't give us our full allocation of tickets. They make excuses. They can't get enough coaches in the coach park. It's absolute rubbish. And next season, I will be campaigning to get the bubble match. It's the last bubble match in the country. I'll be campaigning to get that gone. The reason why they're either side of us is because the segregation area is in the way end now. So that allows them to bring more home fans right up close to our fans. And it's wrong. We should be, you know, we don't do any pettiness towards their fans. We give them the right allocation. We don't make excuses. And from a supporter's point of view, it's an awful day out. I don't see why it has to be a bubble. You know, as long as the buses go to an avenue, if people want to go on the train, they'll get bubbled up and walk to the ground. It happens all around the country, week in, week out, with all types of teams. So we should take that excuse away from Swansea. But going back to our performance, it was absolutely dire. That first half was absolutely shocking. No energy, no effort, and no desire. I'm not saying they didn't went out there to lose, but they just turned up. And the game didn't mean anything to a lot of them. And I tell you the reason why, because they were at Cheltenham races in the beginning of the week. If they wanted to go team bonding, why didn't they go to an army camp or up the Brecon Beacons and work hard for what is a big game for the supporters. I am absolutely sick to death of going there and getting our bloody backside kicked year in, year out. It's actually disgraceful and disrespectful to the players who come before and all the teams, or even women in the lower divisions. There was Cardiff players and players from away like Buchanan. You see all that effort them players have put in over the years. And then this lot, this rabble with the manager and the club turn up and put a performance in like that on a derby day. And I tell you the reason why we beat them earlier in the season, because they had a manager who didn't take it serious and didn't get the tactics right. That's why we beat them early in the season. That win, with if you know your football, you know how hard it is you played all season, you wouldn't have been surprised by that performance and by that level of defeat. In fact, we were lucky to get away with two. And full respect to Swansea City players for giving it 100% and putting effort in front of their fans. I thought it was great. They showed passion, they showed energy and effort, and they took it seriously like they do every year. And what we should do is have a look how they look at the game, and we should copy that, because then we might compete. Sorry, I took up a lot of time, but I have to get that.
No. Thank you, Vince. Ed, what do you want to respond to that?
I don't know how I can respond to Vince. I think we're all in Vince's shoes. You know, it was a dismal performance. As I was saying earlier to Al, basically in the first game, when we played him at home, I thought, take out Grimes, I said to him, and we'll win the game. And that's kind of what we've done. There was no press. We couldn't deal with their press. And when Mite, or whatever you pronounce his name, when he started losing his head, it was like it was happening all over again when Callum Robinson threw the ball. He played in the hands of the centre-half, and Phil Stant or someone like that, when, you know, he wouldn't then get away with that, they put one on him. I was disappointed all over. It just felt like they went in there, lost their soul, and they just went into the shells. It was... You know, I feel for the fans who actually went. It was bad enough watching in the pub, you know, and dealing with rugby fans. But I don't know. We need to get a grip of ourselves. And, you know, I think as fans, a lot of our fans went in there too confident. You know, when it comes down to derby day, I don't know what Vince was like. You were probably pacing up and down, dealing with tickets and all that. We've been there so many times, haven't we, Vince? And it's just, it's not a day out anymore.
I wasn't nervous at all because I knew I was expecting what I seen. And fact, people said, oh, you're not too wound up. I said, we got exactly how I thought it'd be, because I'm not saying we should sack the manager for 1 minute.
But his
style of football, slow passing out from the 18-yard box, you're always going to come unstuck from a team who puts a high press up. We need to get up the field 20 yards to get our fullbacks fired up the pitch to stop their fullbacks coming forward, because they were playing all the football was played in our half because we were too deep all the time.
Yeah, because the amount of missed passes, and we give them opportunities. And then let's not talk about, I know people are like, they say NG got fouled. To me, he went over too easy. But who was picking up that winger?
Very clever. That was very clever football. I thought there was nothing wrong with that, and that happens every week in, week out. I thought the Swansea player was clever with that, and there was never a free kick in my book, you know. And if it had been awarded against us, if we'd scored, I would have been fuming as well. No way, that's a free kick. That's the player just being a bit clever.
Yeah, Mark and Al, you know, you don't live in Cardiff, yeah, these days.
I'm just talking about individuals, okay. Going on to what you're saying about, it obviously targeted NG, okay, but I don't think it was a case of just targeting him. They knew the bowler doesn't come back, okay. So he's not doing much coming forward, but he's not doing his defensive job either. So NG was left exposed. Now, as City fans, we can see that's going to happen. And I'm sure it didn't take a lot for them to just watch a few games, say, hang on a second, NG looks good because so much he's got to deal with on his own. And as a result, he's looking good dealing with it on his own. I mean, that Brazilian lad, Ronald, is it Ronald? Ronaldinho, Ronald?
He was
fantastic. He played well, to be fair, didn't he?
To be fair, he was fantastic. What gets me, though, it doesn't seem like it's a team going out there representing us. It's just a team of whoever's happened to be playing for us this year. And that seemed to be the big difference. Going back to what Vince said about Cheltenham, you know what I've said previously about Ryan Wintle sticking his Porsche on Instagram the weekend after a bloody defeat? Well, you know, he's at Cheltenham. Ollie Tanner's been told previously, hasn't he? Look, you're dining out a little bit. You need a bit more commitment. What's he doing? He's up in Cheltenham in his three-piece suit a couple of days before. Whether or not that's right, if you're going to then go on to lose a game, it doesn't look very good as far as we're concerned. It's exactly what the other boys have said. And then the down individual performances, you know, Mite, he was Callum Robinson all over again. He should have gone for that. Without a doubt, he should have gone for that. I mean, how on earth anyone can say, well, it's about contact. Don Goodman was doing the co-commentary and he was sort of justifying it. I can't see it. And then I don't think Bullitt has done to have any favours coming out afterwards saying, oh yeah, NG was fouled for their first goal. They could have been 3-0. You know? I struggle. I like Bullitt, but I struggle. Is he conveying? Careful, I would say this, I suppose. But is he conveying the meaning of everything to the players before they go out there?
Mark, you know, you live in the west of Wales,
yeah. I live in Llanelli now, not Swansea.
Yeah. what's the general kind of climate of response after the game? You know, because people know you're a City fan.
Hostility, embarrassment on my part. I've seen the swim away thing more times than I've seen it in my life this couple of days. But
do you know the swim away? Can I just? Sorry, Mark, to butt in there.
No problem.
The players and the manager. Look, fans do it. Look, I'm not going to outgo the fans because we're in the greenhouse. But players who are professional players, they see it as a badge of honour. It's actually a badge of cowardice. It's a badge of cowardice. It's a group of hooligans who chased a couple of Cardiff supporters who were picked off going back to their cars on the Mumbles, some of whom school children, run them onto the beach. They didn't swim away, they ran in the water, right? That's the fact of it all. And I'm not sure if the players and previous managers and all them are doing actually know what the true story is about. So when they're doing that, they're displaying a badge of cowardice and condoning hooliganism. It's not a badge of honour. And I just can't believe the club allow it to go on. Look, it doesn't wind me up because everyone knows the truth, right? Everyone who's old as me knows the truth. It doesn't wind me up at all, and fans will do it. But for players and managers to do that, I'm baffled by it, to be honest with you. Unless they believe that the hype that the locals tell them. Yeah. You know, everyone, even the old Swansea boys know exactly what the truth of that is.
I think they do. I think they do it to find favour. If they do it with the fans, all of a sudden they become a fans' hero. That Patterson, okay, he was throwing his ball, he was throwing his toys out the cottage in the season. He wasn't playing, okay, because he wanted to move. All right.
Yeah.
And now he's done this. They go, oh, Patterson. He's posting stuff on his bloody Instagram about showing photos of himself with that kind of thing. That kid's going to be gone. His contract's up in the summer. He's gone.
He's gone.
I mean, I find it all a bit. When grown-ups are doing it, I all find it a bit weird.
But it's a seven-year-old. The seven-year-old fan doing it. Like.
Yeah.
Well, they had rubber rings on as well, didn't they?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one, Mark. Oh.
We used to wear them, Mark. We used to wear them down there.
It takes a certain sort of person, okay. I don't know. You know, they all line up to greet our coaches coming in. I don't get that. They put flares up. I don't get that. But it takes a certain kind of person to put their seven-year-old kid on the shoulders, dress him up in a rubber ring, right, and goggles, and say, "Go on, son, do swim away." I mean,
I'm a little minion.
Get in the pub and give him a pack of crisps and have a pint, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's a bit weird, but there we go. There we are.
Yeah, just to say though, for I'm really glad Vince said that because you know it's not sour grapes. You know, we all hate losing to our arch rivals and all the rest of it, but like in our case, Mark, you know, if we had an ex City player and maybe scored a goal at Swansea, he does the Ayatollah, you know, It's kind of, you know, there's connotations of that probably in colonialist kind of way and whatever, but it's kind of a fun gesture associated with the club, you know. There's no malice there. It's not lauding hooliganism, whereas that thing, that swim away thing, I totally agree with Vince. I'm glad you said it, because I think exactly the same thing, you know, for a professional footballer to be doing that, which is nodding towards condoning, you know, a perceived violent occasion, is just totally ridiculous thing to be doing. I can't understand it.
Well, it's all part of the game plan, though, isn't it? I mean, they set out to rile us up, and it worked. I mean, they got under the skin of Matey, they got under the skin of the fan, they got under the skin of NG, and in previous games they got under the skin of Callum Robinson. It's an aggressive approach, and at the end of the day, we're giving them airtime by debating. It's pathetic, to be honest. It's pathetic what they're doing. It's pathetic. I mean, I can remember back going when I was a kid and going to the vet and my father being petrified because I had my scarf on. And I mean, that was proper, you know, fear and proper stuff going on. They were bricking the trains and they were stopping the cars on the M4 and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this swim away thing is just a joke, you know. It's just it's pathetic. It's just, you know, it's just stupid. It's just designed to rile everybody up and get that intensity, which then translates on the pitch, which like Vic said, our players, and in particular I think our manager, didn't know how to create the intensity from our point of view and didn't know how to cope with the intensity when it was thrown at us.
Yeah, but you know, we had the home match. He kind of got the intensity of that, didn't he? And then he would have said to the players, you know, don't get sent off. That's the first thing you say, don't get sent off. Don't react, walk away.
Yeah, but it's. I think it's more the fans that get the intensity for that. And it was a lot of debate on social media. You can say that perhaps he's experienced it to some degree in Turkey. But you think Cardiff, Bristol, Swansea. I wouldn't call Swansea Bristol a proper derby because of the distance. This is their main derby, you know. So we've got a rivalry with Bristol, etc. But we haven't got a rivalry with Swindon or Reading, have we? In the same degree, which is about their sort of distance between Bristol. It's just that he persisted with he said in his after match comments, we knew they were going to keep the ball. And we were going to let them keep the ball in a derby. When you're going to in a derby like that, you can't just sit back and see what they're going to do and keep on doing that for the whole match, not change the game plan at all. It was like sticking to this 4-2-3-1, which changes to kind of a 4-4-2. But then, like Al said, you got Bowler not tracking back. So it's basically the fullback. Wilson as Brand looks scared to death.
He did.
Yeah, they didn't know. They had no foundation. And he had Callum O'Dowd there. Yes, he's coming back from injury. He could have stuck a three at the back and gone pushed up with the wing back. He could have tried something, you know. But it was just like, no, we're going to play on the counter. When we're playing a derby away from home and we need the intensity. But there's no press. We weren't pressing at all. No. And it starts from the front. And it was no press at all, and we haven't been pressing really since last autumn, you know. And it wasn't much of a then. We're not a press.
That's because Ramsey was on the pitch. Ramsey press. You see, and he makes everyone else press when he's on there, and he haven't played, so that's why we haven't been pressing.
The difference being with the Ipswich game, we started lively and we went at them. All of a sudden, give us something to get behind, and straight away we were at them. This one, we just sat right back and said, "Well, bring the game to us." Well, that is playing, you know, year on year. They said they talk, don't they, the Swansea way, just knocking it around. Well, just disrupt them. You know, just all you got to do, just disrupt them. And like Ed keeps going on about Grimes, but every time Grimes and Joe Allen, to be fair to them, they just ruled that game. The only reason that they ruled the game was no one put a tackle in on them. So they
we didn't win a second ball at all.
No, they must have rubbed their hands together when they seen the same lineup. And
yeah,
I know a lot of people with hindsight said it was the wrong lineup, but I knew it was wrong from the start when, because when we played him earlier in the season, Joe Allen was coming back from injury. They were at loggerheads with the manager. He wasn't really taking the derby serious. He was playing players out of the position. They're all over the shop. You've got to fit Joe Allen. You've got to fit Grimes. The other guy that's in front of them on the diamond, I can't think of his name, they were always going to press and press hard. And they knew with Wintle and Siopis in there, Siopis is in front of the, he stays deep, don't he? And Wintle won't run through the middle with the ball. So they were able to concentrate on winning the ball and getting that 2-1-1 out on the side.
So were you surprised, Vince? I would think, I'll say for myself, when I saw the starting lineup, I was disappointed more than surprised. He just didn't, he just went the same old, didn't he?
I wasn't disappointed because that team had done well. What I was disappointed with was I was hoping, deep down, I didn't think it would happen. I was hoping the tactic would be slightly different to how we start the game to get us on the front foot, because they were always going to come at us. I was really surprised about his comments about soaking up the pressure. He obviously hadn't done any homework. And, we were really looking dodgy then, because we never got a foothold in the game, really, to the second half. When their energy levels dropped, in fairness, that's how we got in, and they missed our penalty. But Joe Riles, is he injured? I don't know. He's the one player who could pick the ball up and goes forward like Ramsey. Ramsey's not fit, yeah. So you can start with him. But Joe Riles, he's been playing a few games lately. He's the one player they would have feared, because he's the one that would have kind of. They must have looked at that, Siopis, in fairness to him, he's one I wouldn't level at no energy, but he was like a headless chicken, He was missing the ball, missing the pass. He was running everywhere and just getting himself tangled up. But with Joe Riles, he's calm on the ball. He demands the ball. None of them were demanding the ball. Nobody was demanding the ball. Turnbull's a work in progress. He hasn't got the pace to live with that, with some of the midfielders he's up against. And you could see that on Saturday, he was getting done for pace. You can see he's got the ability. He's one of them players. He'll be good in some games and not good in another. And we're not training with these players. We don't see him day in, day out. But so we only see him on the weekend. But you've got to look at a game and think what's going to be the best for us to get an outcome that we want. And I don't think that team from the start was the best start in 11 to go with. No. And he's not going to change his tactic. He's been the same all season.
No, it's not.
We're too defensive, and we're too deep. And we got some games coming up soon: Hull, Southampton. Them types of teams know how we play, and they'll be all over there. They'll do exactly what Swansea does, and we'll lose them, and we'll lose them bad.
Mm. So the Ipswich game, I know we were talking before we came on. You said you thought Ipswich looked nervous. That comeback was just fantastic, in terms of excitement. But we also had O'Dowda down the left. I think we had maybe Grant on the right, if I remember, or Caldwell pushing to the right. And we had kind of natural people on their natural feet. And all of a sudden, to me, it just looked so much more creative and threatening. And I would have thought, there was such a great result. It was such a great buzz. I would have gone with the same starting three for the that ended that match for the Swansea game. Let's get off to a good start,
What happened to Grant? He didn't seem to have the same energy he normally has at against Swansea. He was very quiet. He's normally he does his defensive duties. He got caught on the position a couple of times. I don't know.
I just wonder if the team they went in. We said about the fans earlier being overconfident, and I said a few people. I'd been happy with the draw because I thought our fans were going to win. We're on this four-match winning streak. We weren't particularly good in three of those four matches, I don't think. We just scraped through. The game at Ipswich was an exception. And I wonder.
Really enjoyable match.
I wonder if the players were just complacent going in. They were just like, look, Swansea been rubbish. Swansea been rubbish under Luke Williams, which they had been. Yeah. Right, they're not doing well. We talked about Bullitt doing his homework. If Bullitt had only seen the Jacks' last few games, he'd have said, we've got nothing to fear. But we knew that we were going there. If you let them play in that diamond, they're gonna stuff us. So, all round, just didn't take the game seriously enough. Year on year. we'll ship some players out, we'll ship some more players in, and we'll have another load of players who don't understand the significance of the game.
I bring Ed in now, but Ed, it reminds me a little bit. I hope you can see the comments on the screen because they go back to what we're talking about. Thanks, Stephen Hurd, for that. It's kind of we've been talking on the show for a long time. You know, Vince knows how long the show's been going, but of late about the some sort of disconnect, you know, between the hierarchy at the club and the fan base. So I'm not talking about that necessarily here now, but there seems to be a disconnect, Ed, between the management, you know, the football management, and the understanding of what this match means in terms of, you know, getting battered by Swansea. It's almost like they look forward to us coming. It's, you know, it's their Christmas party, you know.
They just up for it, and like, I'm sick of the excuses of Bullet, like you said, the foul. There's all, I don't know, it was never a penalty. To me, it was a penalty. And I just, it's sad. It's like I said earlier, they all just seem to go into that place. And they all just, it seems like a, I don't know, kingdom of skulls or something. We all just disappear in, and no one wants to know. And tactics like this continental football play around the back, you're inviting them. You might as well. Neil Warnock even went there. He went there like shambles, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
We got hammered. And then we thought he'd be our hero to go there. He didn't. The only one who went there was Mick McCarthy. And went there and played.
And surprisingly, Dave Jones, because he never reads.
Dusted off and go again. That's what Dave Jones was.
But what we had was good players then. And we competed with them because Swansea then were a very, very good side. That's why they were so long. And we competed with them then, and we beat them that once, obviously with the Bellamy goal, because we had good players, not because of the manager. There was a lot. You had your Joe Lennies in there, Bellamy's. You know, you had players of Cardiff boys who meant the world to them. You know, there was quite a few Cardiff players in the team, like Swansea gone now. And we don't have a lot of that, and that's why Caldwell came on and done a bit, didn't he? So,
Well, there we are. We say it time and time and time again, okay? We need a few local... You need some local lads in there, especially for a game like this, okay? You just need... We go back to Isaac Davis, for example, okay? Start with Reuben Caldwell, for example. Liam Cullen's goal-scoring record, I don't know what Jacks think about him, I don't know, but his goal-scoring record is shocking, right? Year before last, he was out on loan at Lincoln City. Okay,
yeah,
I never heard him as their big, you know, number nine who's going to score loads of goals. Was he probably played 100 games for them? Was he got 15 goals, right? But look at when he scored that goal, right? That wasn't a kind of that was some you could see that he did give a damn. And we haven't got, I can't see we've got anyone in our starting 11 then who's going to react in the same way as he did.
No,
and of course, he's going to wind their fans up. And you know, I suppose credit him for doing it. Okay, you need that sort of player who's going to go to the fans, get them all wound up. I mean, and if he'd scored that penalty, God knows it could have gone on and on and on, couldn't it?
I think we would have come right in stack if that penalty had gone in. Their head stopped
It was similar to when we played him in the Premier League up there. Remember? And we
with Solskjaer, yeah.
I'm always looking for excuses, okay, because they say, you know, your fans don't sing, and I say, well, you know, our fans, they need about 8 pints in them each to get going, really, don't they?
I'm a singer, you know, I'm there.
Yeah.
The own games, I like that. You can't have something to sing about, right? We got nothing. Second half, we found our voice a little bit, but then we went rubbish again. The fans, if you've got something to sing, you've got to quiet them down. The team has got to quiet their fans down and give us something to sing about. You can't keep singing if you conceding 6 corners in the first 8 minutes, like, you know, you just can't. How can you keep singing? You're not going to, are you? You're bloody biting your nails. And it's all right with them. Look, they're right on top of us. And that's the one bugbear I got, right? 2,000 of us will be a big difference here. 1,600, they can come in on the side. They narrow that away in because they bring the fans around and they do it on purpose. And that's why we need a campaign to get rid of that bubble. So they have not got the excuse of can't get enough coaches in the compound. Because either that, if they wanted to stay a bubble, they need to give us 2,000 tickets so we can get fans in. But it's the last bubble in the country. It shouldn't be one. Shouldn't be one. There was 9,000 Liverpools went to Manchester United yesterday under their own steam. And they don't like each other. You know, and so why we got to go through that? I don't know. I really
The problem is, as long as it is maintains a bubble, it's got the myth of being a bubble, there's going to be loads and loads and loads of trouble, right? And you've got people going, oh, if it wasn't a bubble, there's going to be all this trouble, right? With the police, with the cameras and so on, right? There aren't that many idiots who are going to run in front of the police, right? And risk going to prison, getting a ban. There are some, okay? But I honestly think, as you've said, the police can monitor it. But as long as it is a bubble, people think it's the most dangerous derby in the country. Is it really? Yeah. Is it really? Honestly?
It's no different to Bristol. No different to Bristol.
No.
None whatsoever.
So, Vince, I just here in my head, just thinking now, over the years, I mean, I might be wrong, but I don't think I am. You must have links with senior people in the fan groups at Swansea as well. You must have.
Yes.
I wonder what their take on what you're suggesting is.
They're the same as us. You know, they're the same as us. You know, as football fans, we shouldn't be treated like this now. Yeah, like get it a few years ago when they first started, but they look. You know, it was now you've got, you know, the police have got so many weapons. People are stupid if they're going to do football hooliganism anywhere near a ground or around it. They really are, because you're straight to jail. They got the courts to back them up with the sentences. And you've got CCTV everywhere. They got body cams on. There was a small little bit of a dust up in Bristol by a couple of groups, right? They were going at each other, couldn't make out any faces. And people said a woman WPC on her own ran towards them. They all ran away, and they said, "Oh, you know, back in the day, well, yeah, she'll have a body cam on." So everyone, as soon as they know, as soon as she gets close to them, they're all going to be dead. So it only needs one police officer with a body cam to run, and everyone's gone because it's a jail sentence and it's a 10-year ban. You know, what's the point? You're better off not even getting involved, you know, walking away from it. You know, if you need to get rid of some energy, go to a boxing gym or something, you know. But it's them days, you know, the police have got it. They've got the power. You know, it's almost it is a police state when you go to a football match. And there's no reason why people couldn't go there on their own steam. And most decent people would still go on the bus anyway. You get a couple hundred that want to go on the train, you know, kids and that. I used to enjoy going to Swansea on the train. I loved it, you know. And the police used to, you know, put us on, march us down or put us on buses and take us to the ground. And there was issues back then because they didn't have the power or the tools that they got today. But these days, you know, we took 2,500 to Bristol. There was one little flare up for about 3 seconds, you know. Which was dealt with by one WPC running across the park.
Swansea's an area, Steve. Swansea's an area, an easy area to that route from the station to the ground is dead easy to police.
Yeah, well, they put that bit of a road in now, haven't they? So you haven't got to go past the pubs on the Havards, isn't it? The road below it, you know. So there's nothing on there. You just pass the council depot from the station. So. Yeah, it's just straight, easy run, a route to take the fans from the station. It's not a gauntlet they're running. And as they say, you've got the buses straight in off there. And people who come in the cars, you've got park and ride and that. They're well managed, and what have you. So I really don't see the issue. And Cardiff's fine. You know, we had all them Leeds fans earlier in the season. There was no hassle with them. He just closed Slope Road off and down they went, like, you know. And same with Bristol. So I don't see the need of it. I really don't. And I think it's about time. We need to take that pettiness away from Swansea City Football Club because they are petty. They are absolutely petty. They got no class of a football club at all when it comes to us. And they don't try and hide it either. And we're all nice to them. And, two wrongs don't make a right, but they're
well, I mean, that comes down to the ticket prices, Vince, as well. You know, like the
ticket prices, yeah,
crazy
yeah.
prices. You know, yeah, they're taking ridiculous. Taking the mick. But what? Just to ask you this, and we'll go around the table on this one for a bit. Starting with you, Vince. It's a simple question, really. Why is the match, the Swansea Cardiff match? Why is it so? It seems to be. Why is it so much more important, and why is it such a big thing to Swansea? As opposed to what it appears to be for Cardiff City?
It's right. One thing that unites Swansea people, forget football now, the one thing that unites Swansea people is their dislike of Cardiff, right? I wouldn't say hatred, because we all know people from Swansea through football and what have you, and work. It's their dislike of Cardiff. And that comes from Cardiff's obviously the capital. And we were voted a capital. I don't know if people may not be old enough to remember the vote of who was going to be capital city, and Cardiff won it back in the early 70s. So they were going for it, and Cardiff became it. And ever since then, we've had all the investment. We've had everything. You know, we've got a castle. You know, this fully refurbed. They haven't got. We've got bars. We've got restaurants. We've got loads of theatres. They've got now. We've got a theatre, but it looks like a crunchy. You know, they've also got. The only thing they really got is a swimming pool, right? And now we've built a swimming pool as well. They did have the tallest building, but now we've got it. And it, honestly, if you, that's the mentality of them. Cardiff, and I'm not knocking them, because there's better jobs, there's better pubs, there's better restaurants, there's better shops. Every weekend, by their hundreds and thousands, they all jump on the train and come to Cardiff shopping and having a night out. Because it's good, you know. It's a good night out. It's good shopping, and that really irks with them. And you know, Cardiff gets everything, and Swansea gets nothing. What they have got, they got some nice beaches. I could give them that, mm-hmm. and they got a swimming pool. We got two proper stadiums as well.
That's how we can swim away. That is because they got their swimming pool. Right.
Yeah. No,
we can't. Can I add to that, Steve? Right. What I think. Okay. It's not.
Yeah.
Not quite along the same vein as Vince. But what I would say is, okay, it's an island mentality in Swansea. Okay, I think they're brought up to support Swansea City. You're down here, you see everyone in Swansea, all the Swansea gear, whatever. A lot of places in South Wales, there's still Liverpool, Man United fans. Up in Cardiff, I say South Wales, I mean around Cardiff, okay? There can be City Swansea going on, but a bigger game is Liverpool Man United, okay? Whereas I think in Swansea, I think they are brought up to support Swansea City. Now, does that come from their 7 years in the Premier League? I don't know. But I certainly feel, you know, I live down here, and I feel like there's loads of Swansea fans. When I've lived in Cardiff and when I've lived in Pontypridd, I've never felt like I'm surrounded by City fans. And it's a real, real strange one. I feel like the whole city turns up behind them when they play us, whereas the only people who know we're playing them are Cardiff City fans. People in Cardiff hardly ever mention the fact we're playing them. It's a real strange... It feels like that our own city doesn't get behind us sometimes unless we're doing really, really well. You know, when we were in school, people used to take the mick out of us when we were kids because we supported City. I know, perhaps I'm wrong. I feel there's a mentality that the whole city here turns out to beat Cardiff. Whereas, unless you're a Cardiff City fan in Cardiff, I don't think that many people give a damn.
Just our peasants down the road, that's all we think. You're bang on in Cardiff, unfortunately. We've got the Premier League boys who all think, what do we call it, El Plastico? Yeah. The old Man United and Liverpool, you go down the Clyde, they're singing You Never Walk Alone. You know, but they actually play it on the bloody tannoy. Come on. But regarding them lot, they basically, even their rugby fans, Steve, I got texts off ex-colleagues who follow Ospreys and all that. And when we beat them, they didn't say nothing. But as soon as they beat us, they're all over me. I'm like, you don't even follow football, so I'll delete that. Do you know what I mean? And stick to your rugby. They want it more when we play them. It's painful. It takes a few days to get over, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, so that point you're making there is quite an important one as well, really. You know, you'd like to think that at some point going back to what I said about the understanding of what it's all about, you'd like to think that, you know, the people leading the team would say, look, you know, it's so important that we don't get turned over and ridiculed by Swansea. You know, look at the trip, Vince, you and the fans are, you know, to get that back and forth to the game. It's just ridiculous, right? Horrendous. And then we get danced on, and then we're pilloried and, you know, made a laugh and stuff. Swansea, you know, the league doesn't lie, but we're heading for Easter, you know, the eggs coming out, you know, they're not a good side, you know. But with the spirit we went into the game yesterday, we were just there for the taking, Ed. And that, you know, is for the City fans, Ed, don't the City fans deserve so much better than that?
You know? Oh, 100%, Steve. You know, the way the players think it is, oh, let's put a picture on Instagram and we're going to do it this weekend. Nah. You ain't got the likes of Jeff Eckard going in with a head. You know what I mean? He used to go through brick walls. We'd used to have Phil Stand. He'd be, you know, Gary Thompson when he went running through him when he scored that one time.
Yeah.
I think they need to come to work with us, don't they? Yeah. The week before it, you know, and get them on a construction site and after, when you start having a banter with them. You know what I mean? Yeah.
To be honest with you, Steve, I think in the league, I'm sure I've only seen this win twice down there. The Welsh Cup, we've won a few. But,
wow.
But we've competed in a lot of them games or got draws. Yeah. But recently, we haven't even done that. You know, and that's what's
just that Bellamy one, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Bellamy and the Beyond Closed Doors.
Yeah.
And the only one was Simon Howarth when it was Beyond Closed Doors.
Yeah, I didn't go to either of them. The other one, the one I think I seen them win was in the 80s. I think we're sure we went down there in the 80s, but or in the early 90s. But it's certainly Welsh Cup. I've seen this win a cup. But that's how difficult it is to win there, Steve. You know, and you know how long I've been following Cardiff home and away. You know, Christ, there. I remember that when Ed was a little boy on the back of the bus.
Long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The little Ed days. Mark, I'm going to come back to you, but I'm just going to put a comment on the screen as well from Dave Sugarman, which is quite an interesting comment, actually. Anyway, Mark, I'll come across to you. I don't know if you can see this. So it's not more important to Swansea than Cardiff. You can see that from the reaction when we beat them earlier in the season. It's just an excuse for City's abysmal efforts in this fixture recently.
Well, from my point of view, I think that it means more to Swansea because it's all they got. Let's be honest. They're scared of being relegated.
Spot on.
Right? They are. We don't go to Pontyclun and bump into a load of Swansea fans. They go to Neath and Port Talbot and bump into a load of Cardiff fans. I pick my bass player up from Port Talbot. The little kids across the way are being brought back from football practice with Cardiff City tops on. Kits on, you know, it's that close for them. So they're the underdog. They're the underdog. And they've got nothing else to fight for. We're just too complacent about it. We've got the, we're the bigger city, we're the bigger club, etc., etc. mentality. And we need to start realizing that it's not that only that wins football games. And we need to have passion. I would have started with Joe Rawls because of his long-standing Cardiff. He's played in more derbies than any of the other players.
Didn't even get on.
Plus,
I think he's injured.
His set piece delivery is much better than Brian Wintle, and we are top of the league for set piece goals. You'd think in a derby, I would have started with Reuben Caldwell because he's. Well, even though he wasn't born in Cardiff, he's Cardiff come up through the ranks, etc. Mm-hmm. And You need their what's his name, the guy that scored their goal, Swansea through and through. You know, he was revving the fans up. He was piling on the intensity for the fans to get behind the team, and they beat us before the whistle blew. Let's be honest.
Did you see the way they celebrated the free kick? Let me know.
Yeah. Well, did you see when he went off? When he substituted, he was getting the fans revving him up again. You know, we didn't have that passion before they got on the coaches to get to the stadium. You know, it was like, oh, it's just another game. we're mid-table, we're not going to get relegated. Well, you know, that's kind of mentality, rather than we need to do this for our fans. Whereas it's all they got, Swansea. You know, I mean, I married a Jack, all a family of Jacks. They don't all hate Cardiff. They don't. I mean, all their family don't you know, go running Cardiff. They're Welsh at the end of the day. It's the football that, you know, that there's the biggest rivalry. It's the sport rivalry. I mean, I don't get harassed from where, you know, I mean, I'm from Cowbridge, and it's even more reason to be harassed. But
trying to picture your wedding day, Mark. Did you have one home and away end taller?
we went to Florida and got married thousands of miles away. But I just think they're the underdog and they got nothing else to fight for. And Cardiff, you know, they're too complacent. Too complacent.
So the comment on the screen, Al, if you can see that, Martin, who's out in America at the moment.
Martin
Bonehead, yeah.
He's in Madrid.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, yeah. And he says, I was thinking of the wrong Toledo. But the club, you know, but the hierarchy and kind of understanding it. And going back to what Vince said earlier, Al, I don't know whether you respond to this, and maybe go back to Vince. But the longer we're silent, the longer things like the bubble will exist.
Yeah, look, the red v blue thing showed we're a very disunited fan base, aren't we? If we said now, right, everyone next year boycott the bubble, you'd have another 2,000 people going, hey, I can get a ticket for the Swansea game because 2,000 people aren't going. You know, we don't stick together, things like that. It would be great if we were boycotted there. It would be great. And just said, no, we're not doing it. But people would just give a chance to go and see us losing a game they've never seen us losing before because they've never been. I don't know, Steve, it's a difficult one. There's a lot more going on behind the scenes. Well, Vince knows more than me, but there's a lot more going on behind the scenes now with supporters, fan advisory board, this sort of stuff. Yeah. You know, it's not for want of trying at the moment. I think there's a lot going on behind closed doors. The fans' organisations are doing a lot. There's only so much then they can do. They've got their hands tied behind their back by certain elements within the club. They can't do everything.
I've already put a broadside across him at this one because we were struggling to get. They give us 1,600 tickets and they could only take 25 coaches. Right now, if we're in old money, 25 coaches is 1,250, which would have meant we would have had 400 tickets we couldn't sell. Right, we couldn't get the coaches in there. So I kicked off about that. We managed to get some deckers and everyone got bigger buses. We managed to get everyone a seat on the bus with a ticket. You know. So when I was kicking off about that, I said if things don't improve next year, if we don't get rid of the bubble or we don't get 2,000 tickets, whatever, right? I'd rather get rid of the bubble. I've made a promise and I've told a few people this, so I may as well air it. I will organise a demonstration, a peaceful one, and they can't stop this, right? The police know this because I've done it before. Not here, but I've organised demonstrations in Wolverhampton and in West Brom, right? I promise I will organise a demonstration in Castle Gardens, which is centre of Swansea, on the day of the game at Peterwood, 2 hours before kickoff. And there will be nothing the police can do legally to stop that, right? They can't. So either they come together and start talking to the fans from both Cardiff and Swansea, how are they going to improve this fixture, or I promise I will do that through the fans groups. I will do that with the help of the fans groups to kick that off, because no more, absolutely no more. We get the Cardiff out of the two, we get the rawest deal, right? We get the rawest deal, and it's an unfair advantage. And we had it again this weekend. I know the team didn't play well, but it's an unfair advantage. And I don't think as Cardiff City fans, we should not put up with it. And I've had a tit full of it, if I'm being honest. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to say that. But I've had absolute enough of it. And I think our fans deserve more, and we deserve more tickets. We're not on a parity with them. And there's no more excuses. There ain't any more excuses. So I hope that answers Mark's question.
So Stephen Hurts came in. We did do it at Leeds that time. They refused us more tickets. So,
But I think it's. I don't think we're talking apples and pears, really. You know, it's difficult one. The Leeds is a bit different. It's easier to say I'm not going to Leeds. I think everyone down here wants to go to that. I say everyone wants to go to Swansea game. I know more people now who say, oh, I'm never going down there. I hardly know anyone who kind of went really on the weekend. So many people have said, I'm not going down there again. But they're always replaced by people who will.
How long was the day, Vince, from getting down to the ground to getting safely home again?
It's got a lot better because supporters club coaches, I'm only talking from our coaches, because of the way we run our coaches, they're quite comfortable with our first 10, 12 coaches going straight to the ground. So they give us the ticket on before we leave the stadium. So I dish them out to our stewards on the bus. So the coaches left at 9:30 under a light police escort down to Junction 45. And then we were in the grounds by about 20 to 11. So people are turning up. The coaches are there from about 8:39. So if you come in, and now we do pick up in the valleys and everywhere else, so that people don't have to come to the stadium. And I picked up a few coaches en route. So the earliest ones would have got to their pickup points about 8:30. So you're talking 4 hours before kickoff for a 45-minute-hour trip. But most people would turn up with an hour and a half on a normal game before kickoff. So it's down to an extra hour and a half, I'd say, of inconvenience compared to what was years ago.
Yeah. Okay, so it's kind of a little bit better, but it's
well, it's a supporters club. The ones who go to the services, the other buses, somebody like Michael Spear, you know, Spledger, he runs a bus. He's in the last convoy. His trip would have been a great one. You know, they got there, I don't know, 9:30, something like that, and they didn't get to the ground till about 11:30. You know, so it's like they're hanging around the services for a while, waiting for their turn to be taken down in the last convoy. So, yeah, not everyone gets that privilege. Because we're taking a lot of the club fans as well on our buses. We tend to go straight there. But yeah, it's about time. It's Dragonian. We're basically doing. We're ruining everyone's day for probably I don't know about 50 to 100 idiots who might want to have a go with each other. Because most of the others just stand there and watch or run away.
Yeah. There's a few comments coming in. I'll just sort of try and call up a couple. So Stephen Hurst came out with an interesting one. So I don't know, Vince, if you want to just respond to this. Will this fixture end up like Rangers and Celtic? Because that derby is dying, apparently, due to lack of fans.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. You know, like they keep going on about us, about the noise we make. Going, part of it is because of the team's playing awful. But even if we're playing well, 1,500, 1,600 fans, you're probably going to have out of that about 750, 800 singers, you know, because you haven't got you get a lot of other people. And this is not against families that go, you know, like I had 4 or 5 of my grandchildren, the older ones are singing, but, you know, I had two of them at, five years old, you know. So, you know, they're not going to make a lot of noise. In fact, when I was having a go with the keeper telling me where he lived, he turned around, he said, "Do you know where he lives, Bamp?" And he was waving bye to us. I said, I actually do know where he lives, but he probably don't know I know where he lives. But I do. But yeah, not that I'm going to go down there and sort him out.
No.
Yeah,
I
was laughing when I was saying it, but that's what he... You know, so yeah, you've got to with that minimum amount of supporters there, you haven't got the volumes of what I call chanters within the crowd. So, and he's quite right, Stephen. Yeah, Celtic Rangers is nothing to what it used to be, and it's going.
I come to you, Ed. Just come back to you, Nigel Harris. Hi, Nigel. It's not just the bubble that's unfair. Cardiff fans paying considerably more ticket prices to go to Bristol and Swansea than they do come into Cardiff. That just seems a bit mad, doesn't it?
How much was it, Vince? £65 was it?
For us, we're doing... Look, we're probably about a 5 a dealer on the supporters' coaches. And I tell you the reason for that is because We do a near and far policy the last couple of seasons. So if you go with Middlesbrough, which is only 50 quid, you pay 25. But if you go to Swansea, you pay 25. So if you were doing an accurate, the ticket's £34, and we charge them about 21 to 24, don't we, I think, for an adult. So they're over a £10 a ticket, more or less. Bristol's 35, Swansea's 34, and we're low 20s for them. I think what we should do is make them like a gold category, them two fixtures. And if they're going to charge us a ridiculous amount, we charge them a ridiculous amount on just for them two fixtures. And so we give it a bit.
What happened to like 2020's plenty?
That's the Premier League. That is the Championship. That finished up on £30. The problem with the Championship clubs, the reason why they don't want to do it is a lot of them rely on ticket money. They haven't got the TV money, so they rely on the ticket money.
Right, okay. So
the more money they get for the tickets, because they don't get the same volume of TV money. So that's why I get why they charge a bit more. But, there's a lot of, most clubs are under 30 quid, in fairness. It's only a handful or not. And I'll give Leeds a bit of credit this year. They've done a reciprocal job where we charge them 20 and they charge us 20, so it can be done. But
that makes a change then.
yeah it does. But Swansea and Leeds are just not interested. Swansea and Bristol are not interested because they're petty.
I was just seeing there was a father and son, they go to every game, and it's 130 quid to go down the road. It was just it's painful. For the team to perform like they did.
Yeah, so we had an adult was 59, the kid was about 32 coaching tickets. That's how we worked out. So it's not a cheap day out going down there, and then that turns up. And that's the other thing that annoys me. Some people they pay their last penny to go to that game, loyal supporters who are on a low income, right? And then players, they're going to get whatever performance they put in, they're going to get anything between 20 and 40 grand a week if they're being subsidised by Premier League clubs. And then there's somebody down there who's been working shifts, on just next to nothing, to go. And the only expendable income they've spent going to watch that, I see them, they come in the shop and they can't afford it, they won't go, And you want to help them, and then you get that, and that's the bit they don't get. A lot of the players as well, they don't see that.
No,
and people, Ed, Joe Ledley's family, and people like Joe Gorrick, they come from that background. They've been mollycoddled from it,
grew up on the pop bank,
frustrating it is that when they just. They've got the world at their feet. They've got a gift, and then they're not humble enough to put in a bit of effort. And that's all we want.
I hope you had some winners at Cheltenham, mind. They weren't better like me.
I think that brings us full circle, doesn't it, to what you were saying right at the outset about players like Wintle and Tanner being at Cheltenham. I think it does bring us full circle because. I'm kind of a critic of Ryan Wintle because of the way he is on social media at times. And it's just this week of all weeks,
Any other week, I could have probably said, okay, fair enough. But it shows. But
what's going to get me now? I know exactly what's going to happen, right? I know exactly what's going to happen, and it's going to get me my blood pressure even higher. It's what's going to happen now is this: it's international break, and those players are all going off to Dubai. And Ollie Tanner will be there Dubaiing it in our face, and I'll be saying, mate, you shouldn't have been, do you know what I mean? And they'll be all doing it, and because they then see one of their mates doing it, then they all bloody jump on the bandwagon. I'm not saying they can't have holidays, but they deserve to get a holiday. You deserve to put in some work to get a holiday.
Yeah, he's not Jack Grealish yet either, is he? Let's be honest about it. He might think he is, but he's nowhere near it.
He has the same socks. We're heading towards the end of the show here. So I suppose looking towards the end of the season now, like 7-8 games to go or whatever. I'll just whiz around quickly. Al, anything you'd like to see happen between now and the end of the season in terms of trying out new players or anything like that?
Before we came on, right, I was going to say, but that all went out the window. I was going to say, it's one game, dust ourselves down, okay, let's get on with it. Because that's what
Bullet wants.
Yeah, exactly. But Bullet now, if Bullet wants, you know, if Bullet wants that job, okay, what's he got, eight games left? Yeah. Okay, then we should be doing the best we can to get as high as we can to the end. If they want some bragging rights as fans, yeah. Okay, if we want proper bragging rights, we want to be ending up as high as we can on the table. Okay, Swansea, who apparently are now going to get promoted next year under Liam Williams, is it Liam Williams? Luke Williams. All right, well, we need to get a gap between them so at least we can say, well, look, it was a one off. Okay, either that or we can just pitter out the rest of the season and go, we'll finish fourth from bottom and not go down. But I prefer to give it all a go now. Whether or not we will is a completely another thing.
Yeah. Ed?
I agree with Al, but it'd be nice to put some youngsters like Keek Ashford in. I think we've got to see Caldwell play more. He brings us up the field. The season, baby, it is over, you know. But we need to finish as high as possible. And that's my point.
Okay, Mark?
I wouldn't be surprised to see Bullet's contract sorted out in the next couple of weeks with the international break now. I think they probably try and pin him down now the Swansea game's out the way. I would like to see how the first 11 plays when fully fit. I think he needs to give Jeju a run. He scored that goal and then he stuck him on the bench the next week. I don't think Matey's a centre-forward. No. I think...
Oh, one goal all season.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Jeju scores one goal in, 7-8 games and he gets dropped. Matey scores one goal in 25 games and he's picked to play against Swansea. I know his physicality was one aspect, but like Ed said, I'd like to see Ashford given a run. And I'd like to see if the manager's got a plan B, because... It just worries me going into next season. Mm-hmm. He's not going to do a massive turnaround of playing personnel, only replacing the loans that are going back. And is it going to repeat next season with us watching back foot football and negative play? You know, I just want to see a bit more positivity.
Okay, so I'm going to go to Vince last, but you know, the point that Mark's making there, if they're going to give him a new contract, now is a good time to do it, isn't it? Because we're running out of time. But Errol Bullet and that sense of negativity going into the game. I know you annoyed you, Vince, and I'm not putting it all in one game. But you know, can you how do you see things going with Errol? Would you like him to have a new contract? And if so, would you like him to change his ways a bit?
I it's pointless just keep it changing managers. One thing he will do is sort out our defence and midfield defence, right? We might not be exciting going forward, but and then you get a bit of a settled team and then you look to change the manager who's a bit more attacking. So you get somebody to build a foundation. I think he's probably the guy to do it. And then you look ahead in a couple of years, a year or two's time. And that's you can't build teams overnight. You know, we Warnock done it, but they weren't good enough. They were all journeymen. So they've obviously got faith in him. He's got his way. He likes defensive football. I think it'd be stupid to keep changing the manager. We need some continuity. Gutas, who I thought was okay Saturday. I had a go at most players, but I thought he was okay once he settled.
He made it one great challenge.
Yeah, he was all right. I thought he was okay. And I thought, as I said, Caldwell was good as well. I think we stick with him. And what we need to do this season is win as many games as possible. Because if you all remember when Neil Warnock was manager, we finished the season really strong. And that took us into the next season. We got promoted. Okay. So I think it's important if we can get one or two youngsters in, great. I don't think that'll happen because of his style of football. But I think that's what we should be aiming for. And if we can get Ashford to run out and young Carwell to run out, great. And there's another player can't remember who it is. Got his name exchanged. There's another player as well I would have liked to see. But on the positive side, Isaac Davis scored against Anderlecht again. He scored a lot of goals. He scored against Anderlecht on the weekend.
Bring him home.
Him
and Sonoda next season.
The Japanese guys doing really well for them. They look like they're going to get out the relegation zone at this rate. So,
yeah. And we got Ramsey was nowhere near fit, clearly. Robinson is not quite there. McGuinness is on the way back. Alnick, Atete, O'Dowd are still getting fit. So the other side of the break, you know, we'll have a lot of choice. So hopefully,
it'll be that'll help. It will.
And the kids coming through.
Yeah, definitely.
But I'm grasping at straws now, trying to be positive. But thanks for all coming on tonight. It's quite, it really matters, to us all, and it's not great. But thanks very much, and see you all soon. Cheers, guys. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you
very much. Cheers, Steve. Cheers, lads.
Bye. Sports Social Podcast Network.